Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
It's The Amazing Show, featuring the amazing James Randi. For more information on all things Randi, including the Million Dollar Challenge, head to randi.org. Hello and welcome, everybody, to The Amazing Show. I'm Justin Robert Young from iTricks.com, and joining me is the man who makes the show, the amazing James Randi. How you doing, Randi?
Ta-da. Very well, thank you.
All right. Well, since our last couple episodes, we've gotten a real flood of feedback from everybody listening out there. So first and foremost, thank you, everybody. Keep sending your emails to randi@itricks.com. But one of the emails was from a Lindley in Australia who wanted to ask your take to recollect a little bit on the chat show dust-up you had in that country with Doris Stokes.
Well, not with Doris Stokes, with Don Lane.
Don Lane, yes, about Doris Stokes.
This was a television show that was very, very popular. Don Lane was an American who I believe had some media experience in this country before he went to Australia and hit it off very well with the Australian audience. And he was running a show there that was extremely popular and was pretty well the place to be in the evening if you had the television switched on. So at that time I was visiting in Australia, one of my many visits there, and they called me and said that they wanted me on the Don Lane show, and that was in Melbourne. I was in Sydney at the time. And I said, yeah, sure. So they stuck me on a plane next morning, and since I'd been on a lot of television in Australia, I'm using the Australian pronunciation of Australia, I was rather widely recognized. And I got there and they ushered me into the producer's office. The show was on in the evening. And I had been doing the usual Geller shtick of bending spoons and keys and all this this kid stuff that Geller does and was doing back then and is still doing because he doesn't know any other tricks.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you, where in the timeline is this particular moment? Like before or after the Johnny Carson thing where Geller bombed? Or?
Oh, that's very hard for me to say. I have a problem with this chronology thing. I've had so many years, I can't tell one year from the other. I don't know. This is the year two as far as I'm concerned. But no, I don't recall the order of that. Probably before the Geller thing on Carson, but I don't recall.
Okay. But you had developed a reputation for going on talk shows and kind of debunking
Doris Stokes was in Australia at that time. Now, she was a lady from the UK who was very, very popular there because she was doing a John Edward act, in other words, a cold reading act.
Oh, he didn't invent that?
No, believe it or not. Oh, yes, wow. It's strange, isn't it? I guess this is a revelation to everybody. Ooh, they're all saying. So Doris was very successful. She was a cute little lady with a very heavy accent, and she was cute. That's all there is to it. A little grandmotherly lady who would wave her fingers around and scold people and whatnot, and very, very popular with her live audiences that she did in auditoriums, and she would get huge amounts of money for that. But she was on television from time to time, too, and I have some recordings of her that are most telling. But in any case...
In the similar vein to the Peter the Popov recordings, right?
No, TV recording.
Oh,
video
TV recording. Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I had some of that of Popov, too, as well as the audio recordings.
Yeah.
But in any case, she was so popular that Don Lane had her on the program, and that he decided to have me on the program, not to rebut what she had said, but he was going to offer me a lot of resistance because he was doing the Montel Williams, Larry King show, play the game the way the public wants it. Never mind what's true or what's real, just do the program so that it gets attention and attracts sponsors, and that's all he wanted. So the typical media horror sort of thing.
Ah.
And as Montel Williams is at this moment, by his own admission, he says he doesn't believe in psychic powers. He doesn't believe in Sylvia Brown, but he has her on because she's popular. And that makes the sponsors very happy, and it makes his bank account very happy. So essentially the same thing, I guess, with Don Lane. But in any case, I keep saying that, don't I? He was going to have me on there to question me about old Geller and Sylvia. He didn't know Sylvia. I didn't know Sylvia at that time.
Who did?
And yes, exactly. And Doris Stokes. So I met with him and the producers, and I told the producer, I said, look, I'm happy to do the show, but please don't put me on there as a talking head who then turns into the ventriloquist dummy. I don't want to sit there and do all the silly Geller shtick with the spoons and the keys and all this sort of thing. I've done this all over Australia, all over the world, and I'm getting rather tired of it now. And I told them Geller is limited to these few tricks, and I'm just replicating the tricks so that people say, oh, that's not the way Geller does it, and that's the end of that, and it's a waste.
Yeah. You almost wish you had a wider repertoire so you could have other stuff to do.
Do other things. In any case, Geller, go again. got to get out of that habit. In any case, I got to get out of that habit.
There we go. Yeah.
So they agreed that, oh, yes, they agreed. But I could tell the way they were saying it that that was not a genuine agreement at all. They were going to spring a surprise on me. It was pretty evident.
They just wanted to get you in front of the cameras. Yeah. Whatever they had to do to get you,
whatever
under
they
the
had
hot
to do. Yeah, they'd got me into Marlborough. Now they had to get me into that hot seat. So I went to the studio. I was there, oh, maybe 45 minutes beforehand, and the prop man came over to me and said, oh, Mr. Randy, I'm so-and-so, I'm the prop man, and we've got the keys and the spoons all ready for you. And I said, oh, really? And he said, yes. And would you like to see them? But I said, no, we'll just do it the way it was planned. And he was spilling the beans to me. He didn't know that I wasn't supposed to know about that. They hadn't told him to keep that secret.
Yeah,
but they had them under a towel, you see, on the table. Very cunning. And who would ever have guessed?
The old Australian towel trick,
yeah, there you go. The towel over the spoons and keys trick, yes. So I did the show, and Lane accused me of having called Doris Stokes a fake. And I said, no, I never called her. Oh, yes, I know. I've heard you say that she's a fake. No, I said, she has to prove to me that she's not a fake. But I didn't say she's a fake. I merely said, I don't believe that she has psychic power. Well, that's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. And so then in a triumphant gesture, he swept the towel off the table, and there were the keys. And, of course, I did a sort of a hesitation as if I'm foiled. He's got me, you know. I was rather ready for him, as you might suspect.
Yeah, because of the loose-lipped prop man.
Yes. Well, with a wide grin, he said, now, Mr. Randy, if you'll be so kind, you say that you can do all of what Uri Geller does, et cetera, et cetera. And he went through the whole speech, you know. So let's see you bend a key without touching it like he does, which is not true. Geller's never done that, of course, but that's what he likes to get across. So I picked up one of the keys, looked at it, and said, okay, let me have your hand. And he stretched out his hand, and I pressed the key into his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hold your hand face down over the table, and I'll hold my key over here. And so he held on to it with a very satisfied smile on his face because he was quite certain that that he had trapped me, you see.
Yeah.
And I opened my hand, and he wasn't bent. And I said, that didn't seem to have worked very well. Let's see your key. And he confidently opened his hand and did a da, because
the
key was very distinctly bent.
Uh-huh.
And the audience could see in the close-up, and they all went, whoa. And Lane was so disturbed that he took the key, hauled it over his shoulder, threw it down at the table, and it bounced off into the audience someplace. And he said, well, if that's what you're going to do, you can piss off. And he stood up and he left the set. And the crowd went wild.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, yes. the crowd did go wild. And so I sat there, and now I had a big grin on my face.
Because you had just hijacked the Don Lane show.
Right. And the music came up, and that was a signal that I was supposed to leave, and I just sat there. And the floor director came over to me. He said, you should leave now. And I said, no, I'll just sit here until the camera goes black. And I did, and I kept waving to the people, and the camera eventually went black, you see. So the next day, I left the place immediately, of course. I went back to the hotel, slept, woke up the next morning, and couldn't get breakfast because when I went downstairs, there were people all over the place. They're all saying, right on, mate. You know, that I sort of put the yank in his place, which is not my intention, but he tried to put me in another place, so I put him in his place. And so all the way out to the airport, the cabbie wouldn't stop talking about it. When I got out to pay him, he waved his hand. He said, no, 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 it's been very entertaining. Thank you. And so I walked away with my luggage and all the way into the plane and the lineup and the whole thing and checking the baggage. Everybody's coming over to me saying, you know, he's not an Australian, you know, he's a Yank. Except that explained the whole thing. You see?
That's why he stormed off the set of his own show.
And they were all shaking my hand and such, and right on, right on. And the newspapers, I found out when I got to Sydney, all had it.
Okay.
It made a bit of news, to say the least. And in Sydney, I was only there for a few more days, I believe, in Sydney before I flew back to the States. And people were all over the place, in parks and the street, in the stores, in the restaurants, coming over to me saying, oh, that was marvelous what you did with Don Lyne the other night. You know, and I thought, well, thank you very much, thank you very much. And so it made a bit of a sensation. And it has been repeated endless times. Every time they talk about, they did a program with Don Lyne after he retired.
Really?
Years after he retired, they asked him back to Australia to do a This Is Your Life sort of thing.
Okay.
And they put me on the phone with him, and from when I guess here in Florida. And I got on the phone, and he said, oh, all is forgiven of the whole thing. And I said, yes, Don, I said, I'd forgotten about that quite some time ago, but they seem to want to keep it alive. And oh, by the way, Don. And he said, yes. I said, piss off. And I hung up the phone. And of course, that caused another sensation.
There we go.
Doris Stokes, though, was quite interesting. As this little grandmotherly lady, she had an advantage over people that don't look grandmother. Like Sylvia Brown doesn't look like anybody's grandmother that I know of.
No.
She may be,
she
for all
like,
I know, but
maybe
she,
a certain breed of dog.
Or something like that, a greyhound or... No, a Saluki.
A Saluki.
In bad health, an ancient Saluki, maybe. But in any case, there I go again. What is this with the... In any case, there is no case to be made here. Dora Stokes, there was one wonderful, wonderful segment. After this particular program that I witnessed, a lady came up to me and she said, now, I didn't participate in the program. I just watched Doris doing her show.
Okay.
And the lady came up to me. She said, now, how do you explain that, Mr. Randy? You can't possibly explain that. You know, she knew where that woman was at the other end. And she, I said, wait, which one you're talking about? Oh, this one, and she described it. Let me tell you, this is radio, not radio, this is audio.
Yeah.
So I can't very well describe this to you without waving my hands around, but try to get the idea. Dora Stokes was standing in front of an audience that went well out to her left and her right. It wasn't an audience, it was essentially all in front of
all
her, as in
okay.
a theater.
Okay.
It stretched way out to her left and to her right. And she held up her hand and she said, I'm getting, now this is an Australian audience.
Okay.
She says, I'm getting, and she's scanning her head back and forth. She's really having to turn it left and right.
Yeah.
Like a turtle
yeah.
does looking around across the road, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, I'm getting Anne. Anne or Annie or Anna. And she's looking back for it now. As she looked to the right, and everybody could see it, if not the camera, because the camera, I don't know where it was at that particular moment.
Yeah.
You
but
could see a woman.
It doesn't have that kind of range
yes,
of
Yes, that's yeah, right.
Field
wouldn't
of
have, it wouldn't yeah. have that angle of view. But she obviously, and I very distinctly saw a woman way over to the right hold up her hand and start waving it.
Okay.
And then Doris's head scanned back to the left again, and she held out her hand and pointed to the left and then scanned her hand over the audience. And as she reached about the middle of the audience, this was well away from the woman who had held up her hand, she says, "It's coming from over here." And she ended up with a hand pointing at the woman who was waving the hand.
Gotcha.
And she said, "Yes, dear."
So slowly dragging the finger as they make a big dramatic gesture.
Exactly.
Almost like a sprinkler. Right. Like slowly going back the other way.
Coming from over here.
Yeah.
And she ended up on this lady. And the lady stood up and she said, "Anne or Annie?" That is what Doris said. And she says, "Yes, it's Anne." Now, that's as much as I have to tell you, because the other part gets sort of complicated. But nonetheless, it was not a good reading that she did at that point. But the woman in the audience had asked me, how did she know this woman's name and where she was? Mm-hmm. But she didn't. She said Anne, Anna, or Annie, and waited for a reaction, which is the cold reading technique.
Of course.
And as soon as she saw the hand over the right, she scanned away from it and then came back and swept over. And another thing that you don't recognize here and you wouldn't know, she didn't say stand up. She pointed at the woman where the hand was.
Yeah.
And she just did a gesture with her hand, flapping her hand up and down as if to say stand up without saying stand up. Now, the woman was at a table with four people at it, you see.
Gotcha.
And she didn't know which one of the four people would be. So she just made a standing motion, and the woman stood. And she said to her, "Anne, Annie, Anna?" And the woman said, "Yes." So she identified herself.
Yeah.
But Doris didn't know which one of the four women was the correct one.
Gotcha.
So this is a technique of cold reading, of course.
Yeah, so to anybody who is in a part of the theater that doesn't see her make that motion, it seems like this woman just has this bond and is standing up.
And you don't recognize it because you forget about it immediately because the woman stood up and it was right. So that was typical of the way that Doris Stokes worked. And Anna is a very, very common name in Australia.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, even if there was somebody not named that, that somebody knows somebody or, you know, a relative or something. Now, she was able to get away with a lot more, you said, just because she looked
grandmotherly, nice
old lady. Yeah.
And she laughed a great deal. Okay. Laughed a great deal. Reminds me of Dr. Giovanni, the pickpocket, who, whenever he was caught going into the pocket or something, he would laugh uproariously and then go right back into another pocket.
Gotcha.
While he was misdirecting everybody with how abused he was or the thing, yes.
All right. And are there any postscript to Don Lane? Was the telephone piss off the last time that you had any kind of communication?
Oh, yes,
with him?
Yes.
That was it?
That was the end of that. But, you know, you feel rightly betrayed when they agree that they're not going to have you do any spoon or key bending, and then they betray you.
Yeah.
But, of course, I would have been ready for it that evening anyway, and that didn't take any preparation. I was just prepared to do it if and when. And it arrived, and I did it. Yeah. Now, I must explain to our rapt audience who are wondering, how the hell did you bend the key? It was just simply a case of shifting my chair forward, and as you do that, you've got the key in your hand, and as you shift the chair forward to get closer to the table, you put the key down against the top of the chair, and you give it a quick bend with the hand, because keys are very easy to bend.
I'm holding a lot more pliable than one might initially think.
I'm holding a, let me see, I don't want to use one that, here's a good one, but.
Yeah, for everybody listening, for some reason, I don't know why, but there's a wealth of keys spread out all over the table that we're using.
I'm sorting keys here that I've got, these are padlock keys, you'd never bend those things with a vice. No, I'm sorting out keys that we had in a cupboard at the back, and I'm trying to find out whether they fit any of the doors that we haven't been able to find keys for. But here's a perfectly straight key.
Here we go. We have a regular perfectly straight key.
All right.
So
this is a WDB. Wait a minute. Sergeant at the. Oh, it's a Schlage. Okay.
Okay. It's a off beige kind of key.
No, it's bronze.
Is it bronze? Okay.
No, it's brass, I guess, not bronze. Wait a minute. I'm taking a piece of sticky stuff off it here. Okay.
Okay.
Now, you'll agree that it's quite flat, right?
Absolutely flat.
Now, when I shift my chair forward like this.
Okay.
Now, I just shifted the chair forward, but look at it now. Oops. Wait a minute. Oh, Not on this chair. This is a good leather chair.
Did you just put a hole in the chair?
It's a perfectly good... No, I'm not going to bend it on a leather chair. this is a failed trick. I'm glad you can't see it.
Oh, man.
No, these are perfectly good.
Oh, these are gorgeous leather chairs.
I would punch a hole right in the chair if I did that. I'll use my iPhone. No, I won't use that either.
It is slightly bent. I mean,
very
slightly bent. But I can definitely see the principle here.
Yeah, you can see a little bit of a rock in it. It bent slightly, but I don't want to punch a hole in the perfectly good leather chair.
Yeah, and really, and the thing with the Don Lane thing, just to really quick just go over that again, it wasn't that you didn't want to do it. It was just that it was kind of hack at that point. You had done it so many times on many shows that
as soon as you duplicate the trick. And they express astonishment. They say, well, of course, that was a trick. Geller doesn't do it with tricks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is exactly the same thing.
Mind force.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up for this week on The Amazing Show. I want to thank the man who makes the show, James the Amazing Randy.
Well, it's a pleasure, and we'll do it again very soon, I'm sure.
Questions? Comments? Topic suggestions? Email us at randy@itricks.com.